Let us read further in God's Word from the Gospel of Matthew and turning to chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 in our Pew Bibles, page 861. Continuing with our study of the parable of the sower or the parable of the soils, as it is also known. We read this morning the first 23 verses of this chapter, and our focus will be the seed that is sown on stony ground, as reflected also in verse 7 and verse 22. So let us hear God's word from Matthew 13, verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, now that it's finally nice out, everything is beginning to grow. The lawn and the flowers and the weeds. Yes, the weeds too. Earlier this week in my backyard, I found a thistle. And it was not a small one. It was getting bigger, and it was one of those prickly ones that you don't want to step on with your bare feet. How did that get there, I wondered, and how did it get there so fast? But that is what weeds do, as we know.
And that's not only a problem in nature, isn't it? It's a problem in our nature as well. It's a problem in our hearts. And it's a problem that if it is not addressed radically and repeatedly, it is a problem that will lead to our death. The focus this morning is on the thorny ground hearers. This is what Jesus describes in Matthew 13, verse 7, when he says, "Some seed fell on among thorns." Thorns or prickly weeds or briars. "Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them." Yes, that is what happens out there in the fields. And likewise, it can happen, and all too often it does happen in our own hearts, in human hearts, with the Word of God. As Jesus explains further in verse 22, "He who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." So as we have been working through this parable, some seed, some hearers, they don't hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word. And others, they hear the word and they receive it with joy even, and they begin to grow, at least in a surface sort of way, but not deep rooted in the soil. And no sooner do they spring up than swiftly they wither away under the hot sun. And then there are the thorny ground hearers. And Jesus is describing them to us. And what can we learn from them? And what is the warning that is put to us here? Well, let us listen together. Thorny ground hearers. First of all, the picture. The picture. Our text is a picture of plants in thorny ground. And there are at least three things in this picture to highlight. One is, obviously, the thorns. The thorns. Some seed fell among thorns, thorny ground or weedy ground, weeds like thistles or other prickly things. And again, we can think of, we have these things in our gardens, and they grow in our lawns and fields. They come out in all sorts of places, in cracks, in the sidewalks and so on. They're everywhere, it seems, and what a challenge it can be to get rid of them. Now, it can be helpful for a moment to remember where weeds came from. Where did we first meet thorns and weeds? The Bible tells us, doesn't it? After the fall into sin. Remember that in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve rebelled? And among other things, God, coming in his judgment, said in Genesis 3 verse 17, "Adam, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you." So thorns and thistles are the fruit of the fall into sin. They are here because we have become sinners and sinful. And they remind us, don't they, thorns and thistles, they remind us of our need for grace. Whenever we see them, whenever we work in our garden, say, or dig out some crabgrass in the lawn, or see a farmer spraying for weeds in the field, every time let us remember we are sinners and we need a Savior. But thorns and thistles and weeds and things like that do not only grow in the ground, they also grow in our heart. And that is Jesus' point in this moment. Some people, when they hear God's word, the heart into which that word comes is a heart full of thorns, or at least the seeds of thorns. And what are those thorns? Well, here in Matthew's record of the parable, we learn about two of them. Two thorns that show up in multiple forms and varieties. Two, we could say, classes of thorns. One is, Jesus says, one is the cares of this world. So that's one of them. And what a thorn. The cares of this world. What's that mean? The cares of this world, they are all the things that we can be so busy with in daily life. You know, our food and drink, our schooling, our jobs, our families, our health and strength, our bills, our goals, all our activities, our struggles, our questions, our anxieties and fears, the decisions we have to make. Well, the list goes on and on. All these cares of this world, who can escape them? Just to live in this world is to become full of care, full of cares. But isn't Jesus telling us, watch out? The cares of this world can be like thorns in our heart, preventing us from hearing and receiving truly and effectively the Word of God. The cares of this life need to be kept in their place. They need to be kept in proper perspective and balance. A second thorn that Jesus mentions here is called the deceitfulness of riches. This too is an interesting phrase. The deceitfulness of riches. What's that mean? Well, think here how riches promise so much, but ultimately they cannot deliver. Riches, they promise us peace and rest and joy like never before. They hold out to us this prospect of true and lasting satisfaction. So that if only we can have this or that, we can be happy truly and content. Mark, when he records this parable, he includes an additional phrase. Not only the deceitfulness of riches, but also the desire for other things. Or the desires, even. And Luke, in his version, includes the word pleasures. So we can put all these things together. Cares, riches, pleasures, and they can be all-consuming, can they? And it doesn't matter if we are rich already or not. If we are not rich, we desire to be rich. And if we are rich, we desire to be richer. And it never stops. How long we can study catalogs or sift through internet ads or window shop or really shop, all in the pursuit of the next thing or more things or bigger and better things, more comfort and more pleasure. And it can become this whole consuming life for us and what we're all about. Don't we all know that trick? Don't we all know that trick? And it's not that Jesus is saying you can't ever want things or you can't ever buy things or enjoy things. He's not saying that. Elsewhere, the Bible teaches us that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. He Himself is an overflowing fountain of good and of blessing. And we may appreciate His gifts. But never should we forget the dangers. And never let's forget that the riches of this world are uncertain. They cannot be the source of our joy and peace and satisfaction. We have been made for so much more. We have been made to delight in the living God. He must have our heart and our whole heart. So we should be so careful not to fall for the lie of riches. Come down this path, riches say. Come down our way and chase them our whole life long, ultimately to the loss of everything else that matters, including our own soul. So that's the first part of the picture, these thorns that can be in our heart. The second part of the picture is what the thorns do. What do they do? Well, Jesus tells us they choke the Word. They choke the seed of the Word. They choke those new little plants that are growing because of the Word or through the effect of the Word. See, the seed comes in and initially everything looks good perhaps. The soil looks clean. Maybe there are no weeds yet. Maybe only the seeds are present. Or maybe the weeds are very small. That's how it is, or how it can be with us as sinners. We can have a pretty cleaned up life. Can look altogether pretty good. In any case, what happens is that the seed of the Word comes and begins to grow, it seems. But at the same time, so do all the thorns, the weeds, the thistles, the prickles, the briars. They're all there and they grow too. And just like in nature, they grow fast and they grow strong. And if they are not taken away, they overgrow all the good plants. We have seen it in nature and how vividly Jesus describes it for us now in terms of people hearing the Word of God and the weeds choking that seed. Whatever word there was, whatever impact it made, whatever growth that came, it didn't last. The weeds, the thorns overgrow it and choke it so that it suffocates. It loses all of its vitality. It withers, shrivels, and dies. So someone can be listening to God's word and hearing the gospel, hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Someone can be listening to the call to repentance and faith, hearing it. The seed drops into the soil and begins to do its work. A little root even grows, and then a plant, a bit bigger and stronger. But at that very same time, all the plants growing around it are faster still and stronger yet. And they overtake that precious plant. And sure enough, it can't breathe. It can't get light. It can't find water and nutrients. And it chokes. It chokes. And so we've got this picture of thorns, and we've got this picture of choking. And then the third part of it, no fruit, no crop, nothing. The end result is that it's all over, the plant's destroyed. Before there could be any blessing, any fruitfulness, the plant's life is finished. Matthew says he becomes unfruitful. Luke says there is no fruit to maturity. No fruit to maturity. Reminds me of sometimes when you see a cornfield, say, in parts of the field, maybe on the edge, a little bit covered up with weeds, the stalks are very small. If you go a bit closer, you might see what looks like a cob forming, but when you get even closer, you find, oh, no, there's actually no cob there at all. It's empty. There's no fruit to maturity. That's why Mark, when he tells this, he says there was no crop. No crop. In the thorny ground, there was no crop. So that's the picture that Jesus sets before us. That's how it is with some who hear the word. They're like the thorny ground. And what seedlings there are, what little plants that grow, they get choked out by these thorns and they become unfruitful. Is it not all very sad to see the seed sown on stony or on thorny ground wasted? Well, what's then the point? That's the issue now. With this picture, let's see, secondly, the point. And the point is really twofold. One part of it, in fact, the main thing, no doubt, is that this can be. I mean, thorny ground hearers, and what happens? They're being thorns and they choke the seed of the word so that there is no fruit. This can be. And we've got to register that in terms of the way that some people hear the word of God. They can be like thorny ground. Maybe they grow up in the church and they hear the word all their life and they receive it, at least in a certain way. They're not like wayside hearers, totally indifferent and deaf even to the word. They're not like stony ground hearers springing up with enthusiasm in a moment and falling away just as swiftly when it's tough. No, there's something a little more enduring about them, at least in an outward sense. But as time goes along, they get busy. They finish school, they get married, or they travel, or they get into their work, and, you know, life gets very full. There's this to do and that to do, and you've got debts to pay and a house to buy and to set up. And all these things are good, of course, in the name of providing and securing and taking care of ourselves and families and properties and possessions. But busy with all of that, there's hardly time anymore to read and pray and to seek first the kingdom of God and to meditate on the Lord and to serve Him in His church and to witness of Christ in this world. There's no time for that. We've got way too much else to do. What's happening? What's going on then? The seed may be there, but the thorns are choking the seed. It can happen already when we are young, when we are in school. In high school, say, you can be so busy with your studies, with your sports, with your social life, all legitimate things, wonderful things. You're not watching, you're not careful, you're not discerning. And soon enough, these other things, they just crowd out the Lord. And they suffocate the Word. And whatever plant there was that was growing up, let's say in your youth, whatever plant of faith and repentance and new obedience, it's choked out. Or maybe it's not simply that life is busy. Maybe Maybe there are special needs. Maybe there are particular burdens, huge cares in your life. Maybe to do with your health. Maybe you feel like you are slipping. You're not as strong or as quick or as sharp. That's very overwhelming. Or maybe in your family you have huge family cares. Wayward children or estranged children. Or maybe you have difficult parents or aging parents. And you don't know how to help them, or they won't take help, or it's just very complicated. Or maybe in your working life there is so much pressure because you have multiple responsibilities, all kinds of people to care for, or deadlines to meet, or decisions that hang on you, and you work long hours and you take it home and it's such a burden and it's all consuming. Well, again, who can get away from these realities of life? But for how many people, these are thorns. These are thorns in their spiritual life that crowd out the word and choke the truth of God as we hear it and as we're to receive it. And the result is that we have no time nor interest for the things that really matter. Even if on the outside we still keep up the show and we sit here and we listen, we hardly listen. And we read, we really don't read. We sing, but it's just with our mouth. That's as far as it goes. And the reason is all the thorns. You don't maybe understand that. You're not alert to it. But the Bible's telling us that this is what's happening. The cares of the world are choking the seed of the Word of God. You see, this can be. That's what Jesus is pointing out. This can be. And what about in regard to riches? How many people show by their lives that they have fallen for the lie, that daily they are falling for that lie? The deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things has felled them, and they have bought the scheme. And they show that because their whole life is all about wealth and abundance and luxury and moving on to bigger and better and more, and experiencing pleasure after pleasure, going here and doing this and counting it all up. That is what they're living for, and they're not living unless they're doing that. And it consumes them again, so that they have no heart for the things of God. And though they may listen to Him in a formal way, they can be in the field still, in the church still. They can read the Bible, they can go through all of the motions. But the reality is their heart has no room for the Word. And what has happened? Thorns have grown up and have choked out the seed of the Word of God. So that there is no true trust in God, no joy and peace in Him, no service for Him. And Jesus is saying, this can be. Do you realize? This happens. This goes on in the world. Wherever the gospel seed is sown, wherever the word of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, wherever He, the Savior, is lifted up in all of His fullness and glory, for some people, this is where it ends. Despite hearing and receiving, there is no fruit. There is ultimately no plant even. It has all been choked by the thorns. Is this not so sobering to think through? To realize that we can be so close to the Word, that it can be so close to us, it can land in our life, it can even begin to do some work, as it were. But then something as simple as the busyness of life, or being drawn into the pleasures and treasures of the world, these things, so powerful they are, that they can just crowd out whatever was there from God's Word. Are we not seeing it today? Is it not happening all over? How do we explain the mass exodus from the church the last 100 years in our country? And even if people are still in church formally, how do we explain oftentimes the great indifference the lethargy that marks the church at large, is it not in part due to this very thing? That as prosperity, as busyness, as all these things have grown up in our culture, they've grown up in our hearts too, so that when God's word comes, it finds no ready reception. We're just too busy. We've got to go shopping. The lake is calling. There are plans on the go. The fair is in town. Whatever it is. I don't have time to read the Bible today. I don't have time to do what it says. I don't have time to pay attention to the living God, my Maker. I'm so busy, you know. I'm anxious. I'm stressed. I'm focused on making it really big in life.
And so there is no fruit for God. And there is no fruit that endures. What shall it profit a man, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world, if he conquers every care and inherits all that the world has to offer? And he loses his own soul. I wonder if you can see weeds growing in your heart. I wonder if you are alert to the thorns that have been maybe growing for a long time in your life, that have been affecting your ability to hear, really to hear the Word of God and to respond to it. How is it that we can love thorns more than the good plant of God's word? This may be the Savior describing any one of us this morning. It could be. Because this can be. That some hear the word and a thorn spring up and choke it so that it becomes unfruitful and there is no crop. This can be. But saying that, what about the second part of the point? On the one hand, in view of this picture of thorns choking out the word and it becoming unfruitful, on the one hand, this can be, and we see it happening, hopefully we understand. But at the same time, isn't the point with regard to ourselves, isn't the point to make sure this doesn't happen? In other words, to hear about thorny ground, we should be saying, Lord, let me never be thorny ground. I'm too often thorny ground. Make it so that I'm not thorny ground in my hearing. You know how hard that is? How hard that is? By nature, we're all thorns. Likewise, stones and wayside. I mean, only the grace of God can change us in that respect, truly and thoroughly. And at the end of the day, we must therefore look to Him for that. And we must ask Him always to give us tender and clean hearts. At the same time, let's remember our responsibilities at this point. Our responsibilities, don't we have some? Hearing about thorns that can grow up in our hearts, should we not seek, for example, to cut down and to tear out these thorns? Should we not be watchful and super diligent, focused on living, if we can, thorn-free? We're like that with our properties, aren't we? Weed-free, if we can. How about with our own hearts? How many of us can be thorny ground hearers because we are spiritually lazy? That may be a bit strong, but let me read to you the words of Proverbs 24 for a moment. Solomon makes an observation in verse 30. He says this, I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. That's the field of a lazy man. We pride ourselves, don't we, on not being lazy. We work. We're diligent. We keep our homes and our lawns and our fields looking good.
Do we have that same zeal and diligence with regard to our hearts? Or would Solomon, if he went by our heart, if he could, say, "Oh, looks like there is the heart of a lazy man or a lazy woman." If we can't be bothered, say, to read regularly, to be disciplined, to pray, to think about the things of God, to obey the Word of God, to seek first the kingdom of heaven. If that's not our heart, you can be sure that thorns will come in and grow up, and it will become harder and harder. And eventually they will choke you. And then there's something else. You know, how can thorns grow if we are filling our minds and hearts with truth? And if we are seeking to be full of the priorities of the Bible? Think here now in terms of the cares of this world and the riches, the deceitfulness of riches. Remember, for example, the experience of Martha and Mary. Remember when Mary was listening to Jesus and just drinking in divine truth. Meanwhile, Martha was scurrying about, so distracted and preoccupied and focused on getting supper ready. Well, they had to eat, of course. The cares of this life, not wrong, not improper, but in Martha's case, it was way out of proportion. So that Jesus said to her finally, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, cares of this life. But one thing is needed. One thing matters above all else. One thing must be the priority of our life. And Mary has chosen that good part. You should too, Martha." So we need to do our work and we have our cares to manage. But let everything be done in service to growing in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And let us learn to do what the Bible calls for, to cast every care on Him and to commit our works to Him and to go forward looking fully to Him. And as for the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things and the pleasures of this world, how do we keep those out? Well, how about by remembering and seeking to imitate also the experience of, say, the patriarchs, of whom we read in Hebrews 11 that they died in faith, not having received the promise, but confessed to be strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Who confessed to be looking for a better country, a heavenly country. That was their great North Star, you could say. Oh, it came through very poorly at times, as it does in every Christian, but it was what marked them fundamentally nevertheless. Or think here of the great words of Jesus when he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Live lives of faith and obedience and all-out service to the living God, not seeking to have it all here, but to enjoy God's riches in glory, in eternal glory. Together with Him, He is to be the great portion of our hearts. So how did Paul put it one time? "Set your minds on things above." Isn't it true that if we're doing that, how much harder it will be for the thorns to grow? And then there's one more thing. It's really the key thing. The Bible tells us how to bear fruit. Thorny ground hearers bear no fruit. What is the way to bear fruit? Well, there's only one way, ultimately, and that is to abide in Jesus Christ. Remember how he taught that himself in John 15 when he said to his disciples, and he said that to all people ultimately, he said, "He who abides in me bears much fruit." How do we get to the point that over our life it's not written "no crop," but "exceedingly fruitful"? It's only as we are totally and consistently Christ-focused. which means trusting Him, holding fast to Him, following Him. Him, a living person, the great Redeemer, Jesus Christ on high in heaven by His Father. And thinking of Him yet, let's not forget how He came. He Himself came to this world of thistles and thorns. And how He managed to live so well, faithfully and fruitfully, being filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. Thing two, when He suffered and died, one thing they put on Him was a crown of thorns. Of thorns. He deserved a crown of glory, yet He had to wear a crown of thorns. And how the whole world conspired together to, as it were, choke Him out of this life. To reject Him, to crucify Him. How He there had to hang on the cross, where every breath was great labor. Where eventually He had to die. And what all of that was, it was His doing what sinners deserve. It was His bearing the wrath we deserve. It was, as it were, He choking for those who ought to choke forever because of our sin and guilt. But He did it for us, even for all who look to Him in faith. And so if we keep Him in view, always with our eye on Him, truly will not be thorny ground. No, instead, by the grace of God, will be fruitful, fruitful ground. Is that not what to want in all of this, after all? Lord, make us so. Make us fruitful, fruitful ground. Amen.